The book of St. Luke, chapter number 19, is where we'll be going. We'll be taking our verse of scripture. In fact, we're going to read that whole passage. Familiar passage of scripture. Amen. We thank God, amen, for you being here. Amen. When I saw my man out there sitting, I said, no, he got them fingers for keyboard playing. Couldn't have him out there just sitting. Amen. I forget his first name. I know it's Minister Geneva's nephew. What's his name? Tim? Amen. Tim. Timothy. Amen. So we thank God, amen, for, I say, you want to play? It's good when you, some people don't want to do nothing. Even when you go to another, you want to play? No, I'm good. I'm cool. I'm good. Say, you want to play? Yeah. I say, he said, yeah, I want to play. You got a gift. You use it for the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's why y'all see me dance up here. Can't dance like I can't go to the club and dance like I used to. Well, I'm going to dance at. Me and First Lady, we dance at home sometimes. Amen. Y'all don't know First Lady can dance, do you? Yeah, she moves a little bit now, but Deacon Clay. So, amen. So,
So,
I can't tell it all. I don't know what y'all want me to tell, but amen. Luke chapter number 19, starting at verse number 1 through 10. Amen. And it says, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guests with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood, said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to the house, for as much as he also as a son of Abraham. Verse 10 said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Gracious and Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this day. We ask your God to speak through your servant, O God. Open up the ears of your people, O God, that they may be able to hear your word on this morning, O God, as we give you praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the church say, amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Amen. In about 3 weeks, many people across the world will celebrate Resurrection Sunday, most commonly known as Easter. You know, I've always found it hard to celebrate things that I have no part with in any kind of way. I find it hard to celebrate. I celebrate sports teams, and many of us on the Golden State Warriors kick. Amen. Seeing Steph Curry and doing what he does out there. And I celebrate sports teams just like when the Super Bowl, amen, was on. Amen. I can root and get upset and, amen, and yell at the TV like they know what I'm saying. Amen. But I celebrate in victories, amen, with sporting teams, not because I'm getting paid by anyone, not because, amen, they're doing anything for me, but it's simply because that as I follow the team and follow the players, amen, I get a sense of being a part of that team, and so I can celebrate with them. I celebrate people's lives, amen, and their anniversaries and their achievements, and when they graduate and when they get married, when they have a child. I celebrate with individuals, amen, because of their different accomplishments and achievements, because of the connection that I have developed with them and having some sort of relationship. You know, if I got some sort of relationship with you, amen, when you come and you say, Pastor, I got a new job, or, you know, they just promoted me or something like that, I celebrate with you because there's a connection that's there. So the point I'm trying to make is when we have developed some sort of relationship through whatever channels, celebrating someone becomes much more realistic and also personal. Say it again. When we develop some type of relationship, amen, through whatever channels, celebrating now becomes more, amen, realistic and also more personable. Fact that so many people celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection without having any type of relationship with him perplexes me. It confuses me sometimes, because how can I celebrate something, amen, when I have no part of it? How can I celebrate, amen, and be joyous about an occasion when I have no relationship with the individual that I'm celebrating? So it confuses me sometimes. So this month, I want to take the time, amen, to journey, amen, through this month for individuals to get to know who you're celebrating, amen, as we're embarking on the Resurrection Sunday morning. The first thing in developing a relationship with anything or anybody is that there must be a desire for one. I have tried to have relationships with individuals, amen, but if there's no desire, amen, for them to even want a relationship, it's mighty hard to try to make people do what they don't want to do. Zacchaeus here, I believe, had such a desire, as demonstrated by his actions, amen, despite the position that he was in. You see, Zacchaeus, amen, heard that Jesus would be passing through the city of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Zacchaeus had a desire, the scripture said, to see Jesus, even though he knew he would be despised among the people. What you have to know about Zacchaeus is the scripture said that he was a chief tax collector. Amen. A chief tax collector. Amen. The Jews, amen, considered tax collectors to be traitors, because these tax collectors, who were Jewish themselves, they were over regions, and so they worked for the Roman government, and so how they made their living was whatever the Roman government deemed what was necessary to be taxed for that area, for that region, amen. The tax collector would then collect those taxes, amen, for the Roman government. But now how they made their money is anything that was extra, amen, that they collected, they could keep. The thing about it is, a lot of times they were not very honest, amen, as they collected taxes. There was nothing that the people could do because they had the Roman Empire. They had the Roman military on their side, and all Rome cared about was getting their taxes so they could snatch things from you. So the chief tax collectors, amen, began to be a signifying of a traitor, if you will, amen. They were despised. They were looked down upon. They were the scum on the bottom of someone's shoe. This is what these individuals were to the Jewish people. And so now, amen, Here comes Zacchaeus, amen, understanding and knowing that Jesus is going to be coming by, but yet and still he wants to be there, understanding that the people, amen, are going to despise him. Now I don't know who's ever been in a place where you were at where people didn't like you. Where you showed up, amen, and folks just didn't care about you. You wouldn't want to go there no more. We don't go to people's certain family members' houses because we know as soon as I get there, I know they're gonna be there and they don't like me. And I ain't got no problem with them. I don't want to be nowhere where don't nobody like me. I don't want to be around anyone where don't nobody like me, especially when they're gonna be talking about me. You don't know what may come out of me, so I'm trying to stay safe, and so I don't need to be around no one. But I believe that many people come with a desire, amen, to know Jesus, just like Zacchaeus had a desire to know Jesus, but are quickly met with some opposition, some challenges, amen, before they're able to see who Jesus is. They have a desire, but there's some challenges, amen, that we face in our lives. So you see, for many of us, our desires are one that remains. I mean, most of us have had desires throughout our lives. And the thing about it is if they were met with challenges or we had to work to bring about whatever we desired, some of us, we quickly let those desires go. I mean, I had a desire, amen, to be a doctor one time. But when they said it was 10 years of school, and all the math that you have to take. And there, some of you have desires. I could have been a lawyer. I could have been a doctor. Yeah, you could have been. But the reason that you didn't is because there were some challenges. You didn't read too good. You didn't like studying, amen. You like partying more than you like studying, amen. So when you got met with some challenges, amen, and you had to put in some work, then some things began to change. You didn't desire those things no more. You know, some of y'all used to, you ran out the few, you met that man, that woman, amen, and you met some challenges. And for some of us, we wouldn't be with the people we are if it was too hard. If I should say if it was harder, amen. So the reason many of us don't have the relationship that we have with Christ or what we need with Christ is because there are too many challenges. And it takes too much work. God is requiring us to have a different type of relationship with him. But the thing about it is, Lord, it's challenging to be saved. It takes too much work, amen, to develop a relationship with you. And so my desire when I come in on Sunday morning, my desire throughout the week when I leave on Sunday, I walk out the church on Sunday saying, you know what? This week is going to be different than last week. This week I'm going to pray more. This week I'm going to put more gospel music in. I'm going to read my word. I'm going to go to church in a midweek service. This week is going to be different from last week. You have such a great desire. But something happened during the week. Challenges came. Opposition came. Amen. And you found out that you had to work. Man, I'm sure I'm tired. I don't feel like going. Wait, what time's Bible? I didn't work. Oh, man, they worked me so hard today. I just don't even feel like going. That pain. Oh, Lord Jesus. I just going. You know, it's funny how pain hits just when it's on church day. I don't know. Maybe they ought to call it church pain. But it's funny how pain hit, you know, things go wrong when it's church time. Oh, the car ain't starting. The pipe didn't broke, amen. But you met with challenges, and all of a sudden, amen, you have to work through some of those things. And some of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, we say, you know what, I just ain't doing it. It's too much work. It's too much of a challenge. I'm just going to do it. Zacchaeus here was already facing some challenges. He knew that the people didn't like him, so he knew that the area that he would be going, amen, folks were already going to be looking at him strange, looking at him funny. That's why some people don't like to come to church. Because as soon as they walk in, what they looking at me like that for? Some of y'all come in to church looking at folks. You're supposed to come in to praise the Lord and magnify it. You come in looking. at people. So sometimes, yes, y'all scare me. I'm glad God took some of my vision. I can't see very well, because if I had to look at the way folks look at me, I'd be scared to get up here and preach sometimes. I said one day I was going to just put a big mirror up here so folks can see themselves. This is where y'all be looking. It's intimidating up here. But so Zacchaeus had some challenges. He was going in a place where the folks were not going to like him. He already understood this, amen. And so not only were people not going to like him, amen, but the Bible said that Zacchaeus was a little guy. He was a short individual. And so now him being short, amen, and trying to see Jesus and folks being around him who don't really care for him, amen, I can see him as he came around. They said, what you doing here? What, you ain't even supposed to be here. There he is. This is Zacchaeus, fellas. I can hear people talking and whispering, amen, and some was talking louder so they could hear him. And I could see him, amen, being met with these challenges. But the thing that was in the forefront of his mind is, I came to see Jesus. And it does not matter what challenges that I'm being met with. I came to see Jesus. So the thing about Zacchaeus, amen, as he was met with these challenges, the scripture said that the press was so great that he couldn't get. Now, some of us, we would leave, amen, because it's too much work. If I'm challenged too much, if I got to put too much effort in, then I'm apt to just leave my situation because it's too much work. And the Bible said that the press was so great, he couldn't get through to see where Jesus. I'm a little man. I'm trying. Excuse me. Get away from me, man. You old tax collector. Excuse me. I need to get in here. He's probably jumping up and down and trying to see. And now some of us, amen, we pull into a church parking lot and if it's full, we say, you know, oh, Lord, I'm going back home. Ain't no parking spaces. Now, I don't know. Don't raise your hand. I don't know who's done that in here. Instead of saying, you know, I can just park right across the street and walk. All that way through four lanes of traffic? Oh, God. No, they need to get a bigger building, build a bigger park, and then I'll be back. That's our mindset. Soon as we're met with a challenge, amen, that we don't want to work through. And so Zacchaeus, amen, met with this challenge. The scripture said that he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. Somebody just missed it. The scripture said that he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree. Here, Zacchaeus has a desire to see Jesus, but the challenges he is facing has made him turn and run ahead. God wanted me to tell someone in here, you running in the wrong direction. Instead of running ahead, many of us, because of the oppositions and challenges that we're facing, we're turning around and running backwards. We're running in the opposite direction. You've gone in the opposite direction of where Jesus wants you to go. Touch your neighbor and say, turn around. Yeah. Some of us, we've been running in the opposite direction for a long time, and it's time for some of us to just turn around. Jesus is looking for you at a particular spot. And here's the thing about Zacchaeus, amen. That when Jesus, amen, found him, he was at the right spot at the right time. The other thing God wanted me to tell someone in here today was to reposition yourself. Look at somebody and say, reposition yourself. Repositioning. Now, repositioning, it means this. It means to adjust or to alter the position you're in. Somebody just missed that. Repositioning means to adjust, amen, and alter the position you're in. In other words, wherever position I'm in, I have to be something or do something different, amen, to be repositioned. So if I'm standing in this spot here and I'm going to reposition myself, I'm going to have to move in another spot. I can't stay in the same position. I can't stay in the same spot and say that I've changed some things and I've repositioned and I've adjusted some things in my life. I've got to do some things differently. Say different. different means not the same. Some people, they say that's the definition of lunacy, when you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and you're expecting a different result. And some of us are just some lunatics, amen, because we're expecting, some of y'all, you expected for your finances to get better, but yet and still you keep spending over what you make. Some of you expected for the bills to get paid down, amen, but you only make the minimum payment. And so you look at your business, this thing ain't gone down yet. Well, if you only make $20 a month, amen, payment on a $1,200 bill, and they take $15 in interest out of it, it ain't going nowhere. But that don't matter, Pastor. I just go get me another credit card. Now, that's lunatic. That's lunacy, amen. You're expecting for something to be different, but you're doing the same thing over and over again. I want everyone to stand in here. I want everybody to stand. Now, this is going to be difficult. But what I want you to do is, wherever you're sitting right now, I want you to move. Find another row, find another seat. For real. Find another row, find another seat. Find another row, find another seat. Now I can guarantee that the first thing many of y'all thought was, I don't want to move nowhere. That's the first thing you thought about. And some of you didn't even think it. I heard some of you say it. Oh, Lord, no. And I got visitors in here today. Oh, Lord, what kind of church did I come to today? I'm comfortable sitting where I'm sitting. I just broke this seat right in and... I didn't snuggle right into where I need to be, amen. And now, this man has asked us to stand and move. The next thing is, even though you stood and you heard me say, I want you to move to a different row, to a different seat, amen. Even though the first thing out your mind was, I don't want to move. Most of you, amen, you begin to complain and you reluctantly you moved. But you move because I asked you to move. And since I asked you to move, reluctantly and complaining, amen, you began to move. I'm going to do it. Everybody else is moving. I'm going to move too. And I was going to sit here. Now, I can't see if everybody, if anybody stayed in their same seat. But if they just point at them and say, you didn't move. Oh, so everybody moved. That's good. So in other words, you move, you repositioned yourself because I asked you to move. And with reluctancy and complaining and the mindset that I don't want to move right now, because I've been asked to move, I moved. What are you trying to say? In other words, if it's left up to me, if it's left up to me, amen, repositioning myself, amen, is a hard thing to do when I'm not being asked to do it on my own. If I'm not being asked, then it's difficult, amen, for me just to get up and just come to the front or move my position, or move to the left or move to the right, amen. It's difficult for me, amen, but because I'm being asked to move, sometimes I'm obedient to that. But more often times than not, we're not obedient to repositioning ourselves. Because now the responsibility and the onus falls on you. So nobody is there to tell you, to move. Nobody is there to tell you to get your life right, to do some things different inside your life. No one's there to tell you that. Now you have to come to a cognizant decision on, I need to be repositioned. I need some things different to occur in my life. And mama's not going to tell me, and grandmama's not going to tell me, and they're not around like they used to be. Somebody used to call me. Somebody used to make me come to church. Somebody used to tell me, honey, are you praying? Have you sought the Lord for that? Are you going to him in prayer? People used to say, but now there's nobody around to let me know what's going on. And so now I have had a problem with repositioning myself. Now please understand that repositioning can take as much effort, amen, as dealing with the challenges that you face. I have challenges. Everybody in here has issues. Somebody say issues. Everybody in here has issues. Everybody here has challenges they have to face. Amen. But the thing about it is, if I'm going to, amen, meet my challenges, and if I'm going to tuck tail and run, amen, and let my challenges, the issues that are going on in my life get the best of me, you got to understand that the effort, amen, that you're taking to run back the other way is the same effort that you can take to run forward to somebody who is able to help you in your situation. So he pressed to see Jesus, Zacchaeus. Amen. No doubt, amen, as the press was so hard and he's jumping around, amen, and trying to get into a position, amen, it didn't work out. But Zacchaeus repositioned himself, and he ran ahead, amen, and he climbed up, amen, and he got to a better spot. Look at somebody and say, reposition yourself. Amen. It's time to reposition yourself. It's time, amen, to do some things different than what you've been doing on last week, than what you did on last month. It's time to reposition your thoughts. It's time to reposition your actions. It's time to reposition your schedules, your relationship with God. God is calling for you to do something different. And here's the thing about it. Sometimes when I go to funerals and I know that the person has not done anything different to change their life, and now I have to sit at a funeral. Lord, help me if I have to preach the funeral. But everybody say that we all going to the same place. When I leave here, y'all ain't going to the same place I'm going. I may be going home. I may be going to a restaurant. We not all going. But it's funny, in the natural, we know we not all going to the same place. But when we start thinking spiritual things, we say, everybody, yeah, he's an alcoholic, and he does this and she does that, and they have no relationship with Christ. But as soon as they die, he was a gangbanger. He was a murderer. He did, and you know what kind of lifestyle they had. But as soon as they die, you say, we all going. Well, they looking down. You'll never hear nobody say somebody looking up at us. Everybody looking down. Well, they in a better place. Are they in a better place? They looking down. They smile. Are they looking down at you? I know a few folks that now let's be real. I don't know a few folks in my past that's looking up right now and trying to see what's going on. They ain't looking down. But the thing about it is if you don't start to change some things and reposition some things about yourself. So after Zacchaeus repositioned himself, amen, he was in the right place at the right time for Jesus to come by. Jesus is coming by, and we have to be in the right place at the right time, because he's coming by. And here's the thing about it. He's coming by. So he didn't know Zacchaeus was going to be there. But when you read the scripture, when he got to the certain point, he looked up and he calls Zacchaeus' name. Says, Zacchaeus, come on down out that tree. Come on down. And because I want to dine with you. I want to be in your house on today. See, Zacchaeus' desires, amen, and his challenges did not, amen, prevent him from getting at the place where Jesus needed for him to be. God wanted me to let somebody know in here, there's a place where you need to get to, because God is going to be coming by, and you have to change and reposition some things in your life, because, listen, some of us, we miss our blessings because
because we haven't been in the right place at the right time. And we got the audacity to look over at somebody else and complain, amen, and get upset and get mad at God and ask God, how come you didn't do this for me, Lord? When were you going to do that for me, God? Why'd you do it for them over there, God? And we have the audacity to get mad at God all because you missed your blessing. Have you ever thought you missed your blessing because you wasn't in the right place at the right time? Because you didn't reposition yourself? Because you didn't do some things different? Because you didn't change some things that need to be changed in your life? Touch somebody and say, reposition yourself.
It's time to change some things. It's time to change some things. Jesus knows when you have a desire. See, that's the thing. Jesus knows when I was courting my wife, if she had a thought, I had no desire to be with her. See, she wouldn't have gave me no time. Jesus know when you have a desire to want to be with him. And even though you may mess up, fall down, make the wrong decisions, the desire I have in my heart to see you, Lord, the desire I have to be with you, God, the desire I know that, amen, I got some challenges, God. Yes, I'm not the best I should be. Yes, I got an attitude sometimes. Yes, I get angry. Yes, there's some things going on with me, God. I'm challenged on every hand. I got some issues. And I'm the first one to say I got some issues. But Lord, my desire is to be with you. My desire is to be saved. My desire is to know who you are. My desire is to develop my relationship with you. Somebody say desire.
I got a desire. See, he knows when you're fighting. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. If you don't want to fight, you don't want it too bad. If you don't want to put up no deuce, you don't want to keep what you got. Now, I'm not gonna die over material things, but you just ain't gonna walk in my house and take what I got. You just ain't gonna disrupt and disgrace and disrespect stuff that I have. Amen. I mean, you're not gonna disrespect my wife or my kids or anything. So I may be apt to put up my dukes and put up a fight. Amen. Against you. Now, if I ain't got nothing, give me your woman. Here she is. Go take her. There she is. You want the kids too? Take them too. Amen. Yeah, take all of them. Yeah, take all of them.
Because I don't have a desire. And if it's going to take two, that's why some of us can be professional athletes. I got to go run. That's why some of us can't lose weight. Nah. What, I can't eat that? But I desire that fried chicken and that apple pie and that milkshake. What? 2,000 calories a day? Are you crazy? Exercise for 30 minutes every other day? Are you insane? But I got a desire to lose weight, child. I want to get good. But Lord, when the challenge is coming, you got to know what you got to face. My God, you say, listen, I think I can just deal with it. Yeah, I just go get something a little bit bigger. I can deal with whatever I got. It's too much work. It's too hard to deal with my issues and challenges. So what we do is we just go ahead and just caress them. We just go ahead and just bring them in. Because it's too hard to work to get to a place where God wants you to be. God don't want for some of us in here to be broke, but you broke. God don't want you to be in some type of these relationships that you're in, but you stay in these relationships. God don't want you working that $10 an hour job, but you don't want to step out on faith and put forth any effort, amen, and what God wants to do for you, so you remain right there, missing your blessing. But Zacchaeus, amen, he ran and got up that sycamore tree, man. And Jesus came by and he said, come on down out that sycamore tree, Zacchaeus, amen, because I want to dine with you. And the thing about it is, when Jesus, amen, called him down, amen, he responds to Zacchaeus by saying this. Zacchaeus comes down out the tree, amen. And then what he does when he comes down out the tree is he repents to Jesus. says, Lord, I'm sorry. And in other words, what he does is, amen, he repents, amen, and he offers, amen, restoration for the things that he has done. If I've done anything to anyone, if I've taken anything that I should have taken, Lord, I restore. I gave half my stuff to the poor. I restore anybody else fourfold. God, I repent for whatever I've done. And Jesus responds by saying, amen, today, this day, is salvation come to this house. This day. The reason salvation came that day for Zacchaeus is because Jesus was there. See, you got to understand that Jesus is your salvation. That he is standing right there and all he's asking for you. Listen, he accepted Zacchaeus. He accepted the invitation from Jesus. She said, come down. I want to go to your house. I want to dine with you. I want you and me to get together. That was an invitation. And God brings you into the house of faith and offers you an invitation to know who Jesus is. To know that salvation is in the house this morning. Why? Because Jesus is in the house this morning. And all you have to do is repent of your sins and ask Christ to come into your life. When we come to that place of confession to Jesus, when we confess our sins and accept his invitation to be with us, we walk into salvation. I know everybody got all kind of different things what they say on how to be saved, but let me tell you, the key thing in wanting to be saved is you got to have a desire first to see Jesus. I'm not just talking about punching the clock to be a churchgoer. I went to church, you know. I'm not talking about them folk, all right? But even with them individuals, if you're still punching the clock, if you stay around, listen, I like to be around folks that know more than me. Because if I stay around people that know more than me, guess what? I'm going to pick up some things that they know. I like to hang out with people who got more money than I do. I don't want to hang out with nobody that's broke like me, got less money than I do. What you going to tell me how to do? How to make a mustard sandwich? What you eating? Hey, man, we eat filet mignon over here and prawns. What's a prawn? Oh, that's just a big old shrimp. I ain't never had no prawn. I had some shrimp before. I ain't never had no prawns. Some of y'all didn't even know what a prawn was. You that? What's a prawn? I didn't know it was no shrimp. Yeah, go in there and order some prawns at a restaurant and see what your bill will be. And order some shrimp. Then come back and tell me you'll know the difference between prawns and shrimp. But Jesus is offering us salvation. He is standing there. He's offering us an invitation, just like he said to Zacchaeus. And you can't allow for the challenges and the oppositions, amen, to cause you to run in the opposite direction. You've got to run ahead. You've got to persevere. And when Christ comes, you need to accept the invitation by confessing. I know I'm a booger bear. I know I got an attitude. I know I ain't doing some things right. I know it. You can't fix yourself up to get right with Jesus. He is the one that will fix you up. But what you can do for yourself without the preacher, without your mama, without grandmama, is you can reposition yourself and say, I need to do some things different. I can't keep doing the same thing the same way and expecting a different result. We're in March 2016. It's already starting to get hot. Before you know it, it'll be June and July. Before you know it, they'll be setting Halloween stuff out and Christmas stuff out. And you're going to be the same individual in the same place, all because you did not reposition yourself. And the thing about it is, if I tell you to reposition yourself, you'll reposition yourself only for a little while. You'll change some things when somebody tells you to do something. You'll change only for a little while, and you migrate right back over to it. That's why when you come into Christ, the scripture said that you are a new creature. Old things are now passed away, and behold, all things become new. Have you responded to your invitation to know who Christ is this morning? Have you accepted the invitation to come and dine with him? Have you repented of your sins? We all fall short of the mark daily. From the pulpit to the back door. Ain't nobody in here perfect, to include myself. But I thank God for his grace. And I thank God. I deserve a whole lot of stuff. But because his mercies are renewed for me every morning, when I mess up today, amen, when I mess up tomorrow morning, there's some more mercy that he gives me. And I thank him. I can live and give my life to somebody because God is not trying to be so judgmental to you. He's there with open arms saying, listen, just come confess. Just come believe. Just come and trust me. Just come and love me. So celebrating his resurrection has to begin with you knowing who he is to you and celebrating his life and the life he has promised you through his blood and spirit. How can you celebrate Resurrection Sunday morning? How can you celebrate who Jesus is when you never taken the time to accept his invitation? Stand to your feet.